Cheech, top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Hello, everyone. It's time for another Big Bad Bruins podcast. I am one half of your Big Bad Bruins podcast team, Ian Glendon, and joined, as always, by Mr. Chris Blackie, the old man from way up north. How is it now that the sun sets before 5 p.m.? I believe that's I don't like that much. That's why I'm down here in Florida.
Right. It's a tough look. 5:10 is pitch dark out. Like, what are you going to do? Like, balls here, so... You know, you forget what it's like living up here. Now you're down in sunny Florida, so kudos to you, you lucky prick.
Yeah, well, hey, you make your own luck, Chris, okay? You make your own luck. And I made the decision back in 2015 when we had snowstorm after snowstorm after snowstorm that I was done, finished, finito.
You think I'd figure that out too, but here we are.
Well, you know, sometimes we come around a little bit slower than others, so... The Bruins are 10-2. It's great. It's awesome.
It's good, right?
Very good. I mean, we were talking about the Bruins just staying afloat before the season. Now we're talking about, well, President's Cup and or President's Trophy and all that stuff. But, you know, again, that's a little bit too soon of a discussion. But what unfortunately happened over the last week was almost a instance of epic self-sabotage, and it's hard to understand now, knowing, you know, the you know, everything that's happened over the last few days with the Bruins, and you know, the signings, the signing of Mitchell Miller, the controversial defenseman who was convicted in a court for bullying and really in a very grotesque manner. This was, I mean, from the moment it happened, very just stunning that it was even considered. And two, the fact that it seemed like no one, A, did their homework, and B, no one, I mean, well, basically Bruins management, because it seems like they were the only ones that were any bit aware of what was happening. And, you know, obviously we learned late last night, early this morning, that the... offer, the contract has been rescinded, so he is no longer a part of the Bruins organization. But, Chris, the damage may have already been done, and I think the only thing, you know, as it was happening that I thought was it wasn't – the entire team and the coaching staff was not on board with this. So in a way, they may have strengthened their locker room even more because of all this, but Bruins management almost torpedoed what it is looking like a promising season from this Bruins team, and it would have been 100% self-inflicted.
Yeah, the inept of this Bruins front office is very alarming. How can they sit here and say that they did the due diligence prior to the signing, and then today they come out and say, well, we could have done more? That's a problem with the front office. It needs to be addressed bad, very badly.
Well, this was the you know, this was the statement from Bruins president Cam Neely. Today, the Boston Bruins have decided to part ways with Mitchell Miller, effective immediately. The decision to sign this young man was made after careful consideration of the facts as we were aware of them, that at 14 years old, he made a poor decision that led to a juvenile conviction. We understood this to be an isolated incident and that he had taken meaningful action to reform and was committed to ongoing personal development. Based on that understanding, we offered him a contract. to your point, Chris, that doesn't seem like they did careful consideration, especially for a kid that was drafted in the fourth round and had his draft rights rescinded by the Arizona Coyotes. And I don't think any of us look at the Arizona Coyotes as a well-run organization. And if they felt that the need to give up this kid's draft rights was the right thing to do, then I don't think the Bruins did any bit of research into this, including not talking with the victim's parents or the, right. their family at all, which we learned very quickly that did not happen. And what should have been probably the first group that you spoke to in regards to signing Mitchell.
It's just a bad look. Like, two things I want to know. Whose idea was it to sign him, and who signed off on it? Those are the two things that I'm most interested in.
It seems like a Sweeney and Neely thing, because ownership didn't, I mean, do we think, what's his face is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not that
right.
we think he's
right.
above all. We just don't think he has anything to do, Jeremy Jacobs, to do with the day-to-day right. stuff, because it's Jeremy Jacobs. Clearly, the players weren't consulted, because the response across the board was very negative and very confused and, like, you know, kind of like, well, we don't really, this doesn't, you know, have that, this doesn't give us a good taste. And obviously I don't think this was a Jim Montgomery thing. So obviously this falls directly on Neely and Sweeney, because, you know what, they're the ones that offer and sign off on the contracts. And as the president of hockey operations, Cam Neely, you should know every single thing that's going on in this organization. And it really, the buck stops with him when it comes to making decisions at any level, I would imagine. Like, I don't think there's a decision made in this organization that doesn't, in a way, get Cam Neely's approval. Now, I don't mean that they go every single small decision, say, hey, can we do this? But he's certainly in the loop when it comes to most of these, if not all of the decisions when it comes to this organization.
I've been thinking about something for a while here when it comes to Neely. And if Cam Neely wasn't Cam Neely, would he still have this job?
Probably not. And look, this isn't just a reaction to this situation.
No.
Some of the Bruins management failures in terms of player development and drafting and so on and so forth warrant a second look at this management team. You know, certainly we've talked about Don Sweeney, and even you've talked about Cam Neely before, because again, I mean, at a certain point you have to look at the success of the team. Now, based on what we've seen so far this season, on ice success is not an issue. You know what I'm saying? It's not,
right.
we're not exactly. looking at it saying, oh, this is the same old Bruins team. That we saw the last couple of years where, you know, they have issues, they can win some games, but they have issues that clearly aren't going to be fixed. No, we're looking at this team now as a Stanley Cup contender, so that heat is a little, it's not as hot on those two right now, but, you know, had this happened a year ago, that might have actually caused a
That's
massive
crazy.
Implosion. Yeah, oh yeah. So, I don't know, I don't think they're going to lose their jobs over this. Cause again, I don't see Jeremy Jacobs would be really the person who would have to make that move. And I don't see him as being involved in much of this. You know what I mean? Like I think he'll probably look at it and just, you know, look at the apology, look at the, you know, getting rid of him as enough. And that's, I mean, I don't know. Is it enough? I don't know. It's like you said, Chris. It's just a bad look altogether, and there's nothing really. How do you come back from this? You know, how do they repair the reputation? And is it really about winning? Is that what it comes down to? If they can, you know, bring the Bruins to a Stanley Cup final and win, do you think people will be like, oh, you know, that was just a mistake and whatever, they built this good team? Or is it really kind of just eventually this is going to lead to both of them being gone?
I think the damage is done. I think it only leads to one way with them leaving. Whether that's in season or out, I think that's the way this ends up. One of them's going, if not both. It's just a matter of which one's going to go. You cannot make that mistake on a professional level like that. Never mind like on a just an everyday like regular working person. Like as a professional organization, the eyes are obviously on you a lot more. You cannot be that egregious to make a mistake like that. That is just unacceptable behavior from that organization who has prided themselves on everything that that kid, you know, represents.
Well, it's
like Willie O'Ree, for Christ's sake, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just such a bad look. Someone's got to go. I'm sorry. Someone's got to go.
No, look, I mean, it's certainly grounds for management malfeasance, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the judgment was just is just not there, and it's not indicative of someone you want in that situation when it comes to, you know, making decisions as an organization. And look, I mean, had it not been for how strong that locker room is and kind of the reaction, at, you know, across the board from coaching and of course, the players, this could have, like I said before, from a playing standpoint, this could absolutely have shredded this season and everything that's gone good through the first 12 games. And look, I think against Toronto the other night, I think, and admittedly so, they've said it, that this was a distraction, and I think they played flat. It was the first time all season they came out really just flat against a team I think right now is inferior, and I don't blame them. Like, I was almost like, yeah, I expect them to come out flat and lose that game. I don't see how they can because of basically a self-inflicted wound that just didn't have to happen.
Thank God for the players in that locker room.
Yeah.
Because if that was a locker room who didn't have that type of leadership in there, that locker room would be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you kind of all you need to know about the organization, generally speaking. That's why this is such a black eye right now.
Well, and if honestly, if due diligence was even attempted, I mean, at the very least, you would think you would have to have a conversation with Patrice Bergeron, correct?
And he said that, from what I understand, they did have a conversation with him a week prior to even doing this, which makes it even more bizarre.
Yeah.
That alone should get you fired.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just seems like, again, it just didn't, everything that they did or everything they, in this whole process was just the wrong move. I mean, the exact opposite of what should have been done, essentially.
And, right. There was no need for this move, period. They were rolling.
Yeah. So.
And it makes no sense.
You know, the reality of it is, I think from a, you know, and I hate to keep bringing this back to actually on the ice and kind of the reaction here. But this is, you know, this episode, we just kind of wanted to react to everything that's transpired the last couple days and essentially give our thoughts on what could happen. And like I said, I think the silver lining in this is the unity in opposing this from the players, because I think at the end of the day, they can succeed in spite of Cam Neely and Don Sweeney. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the biggest concern, and I don't know, this isn't any sort of insight or anything like that. I feel like this is something that could have happened or could have become more of an issue is, you know, what does this do to David Pastrnak?
Exactly. Like, that alone.
Yeah.
The way he is, his personality, everything. You really want to piss him off.
Yeah.
He's like, well, this isn't, I thought this organization stood for better values than what you did here. I'm out.
And that alone could warrant the removal of both those guys, because now you're talking about this could impact the future of the franchise, because maybe David Pastrnak says, you know, why would I want to re-sign here? I love my teammates, but why do I want to sign and negotiate with you guys? You know what I mean? And look, I'm not saying that that's his mindset right now. And look, I wouldn't blame him if it was. I'm certainly not saying that either. But it could happen, and maybe that could be the result of all this. And if it comes down to that, you absolutely move on from the president and the general manager. And look, it's again, it's not like they are the best at their job either. So it's not, it could right. potentially not be a terrible loss at the end of the day, but you certainly do not want to push it or get to a point where it's going to impact whether or not David Pastrnak resigns with the Bruins.
And not only just Pastr, it could have a ripple effect league-wide.
Oh, yeah.
When
I mean,
it comes to free agency, yeah. and like, yeah, no thanks.
Exactly, for sure. I mean, especially if Pastrnak decides to take his talents right. elsewhere, and this being part of the reason. So
exactly.
from that standpoint, I certainly think if that becomes a legitimate potential situation, you absolutely cannot risk losing David Pastrnak over this. And that's really what it comes down to from a hockey standpoint. And to your point, it may not just affect Pastrnak. It may affect future free agents that may or may not want to come to the Bruins. So, before we let everyone go, any final thoughts on this whole debacle? And hopefully this is, you know, we're putting it behind us, not only as a podcast, but as the team on the ice can put it behind them and like I said, win in spite of the other two.
Well, I think I can safely say that you'd agree with me on this statement. I've been thinking about it all episode. If you support this type of behavior from this guy, if you have that same type of mindset, if listen to our show, we don't want you.
Yeah.
That's it. Period. End of sentence. Move on.
Yep.
You're not welcome here.
No, and 100% agree. 100% agree. And you're not going to get that a lot from us. All
right.
kidding aside.
So cherish just, that.
Yeah,
right.
cherish it while you can. But it's a very obvious thing we both obviously value. And, right. and again, we hope that the potential, I apparently cannot speak right now, the potential damage will be focused more so on just the individuals involved and know that the organization, I think, still values a lot of the great things that guys like Zdeno Chara help build in this organization the last 15 or 20 years. So
right.
Bruins got a game. So hopefully they can get back on the winning track. Hopefully this whole debacle is behind them. And in a few days, we'll be able to talk about the Bruins starting a new winning streak. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Big Bad Bruins podcast. And we will be back very soon to get back to hockey and get back to, hopefully, the Bruins steamrolling the rest of the NHL. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Give us a follow on Twitter at Big Bad Bruins Pod. And, of course, head over to fullpresshockey.com to check out all the great work over there. So thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.